forward to that. Gene McDonald, in his book, A Magnificent Marriage, writes, "The relationship of a man and a woman in marriage is the prime relationship of all mankind. It's superseded only by that relationship which man establishes with his God." Marriage takes precedence even over the parent-child relationship, since it is upon the success of marriage that the parent-child relationship, the home, and ultimately the world depends. From the beginning, God has been vitally interested in the marriage relationship. That is why he blessed it at the very beginning and made it not only a state of nature, but also of grace. Marriage is not merely a social and civil arrangement for the convenience of two people. It is not simply matrimony. It is holy matrimony. It is undertaken in the presence of God before his holy altar. And it is the oldest of God's institutions. It is our Orthodox, in our Orthodox faith, we believe that all sacraments were instituted by Jesus. But marriage is as old as the human race. And while it was blessed at the marriage feast in Cana, it goes all the way back to the creation. When we look at in Genesis, at the very second chapter, and this is what's recorded. The Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." The Lord built on the rib taken from Adam in a woman and brought her to him. And so Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In the Orthodox Study Bible, the footnote says, "God, not man, established the law of marriage." That is very critical for us in light of this past week's terrible abominations out of Washington. God, not man, established the law of marriage. Therefore, marriage is holy. In the marriage union, the husband and wife become one flesh, which St. Paul calls a great mystery. The mystery is so great and wonderful that a man will leave his father and mother with their blessing and be joined to a woman in marriage. And in this joining, he will be devoted to her with sacrificial love and devotion, and she to him. Once you are married, you're responsible for helping your spouse to save their souls. You know, I tell people when I'm preparing them for marriage, right now, before they're married, they're responsible for their own salvation. Once married, they're responsible in assisting the other in their salvation. Jesus confirmed the words of the Creator in Matthew 19:3-6. And we look at that, and he says this. "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?' And he answered and said to him, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate.'" Marriage is not the joining together of two people, which is the common misunderstanding throughout the world. But as we know, it is the joining of three: the husband, the wife, and God. Like every other Orthodox holy mystery, marriage is a pathway that leads both the man and the woman to union with God. St. John Chrysostom explains, "Use marriage chastely, and you shall be first in the kingdom of heaven." How different this is from the goal of most couples have as they approach the sacrament of marriage. Very often, couples get married for the purpose of fulfilling certain needs which they have in their own personal lives. Therefore, they come to marriage expecting happiness, emotional well-being, personal satisfaction, without even having to work at it. When they don't get these things, they feel cheated or blame their spouse, and often the marriage ends in divorce. As Orthodox Christians, we approach marriage very differently. The goal of marriage is not the fulfillment of one's needs. Rather, the goal of marriage is heaven. First and foremost, the couple give mutual support and encouragement to gain eternal life. I tell couples preparing for marriage, as I said, that they are responsible, once they are married, for assisting their spouse in obtaining heaven. St. Gregory the theologian writes this: marriage is the key of moderation and the harmony of the desires, the seal of a deep friendship, the unique drink from a fountain enclosed, inaccessible to those without, united in the flesh, one in spirit, they urge each other on by the goad of their mutual love. For marriage does not remove God, but brings all closer to Him, for it is God Himself who draws us to it. St. Gregory the theologian likewise writes, marriage redoubles our strength, rejoices our friends, causes grief to our enemies, a common concern makes trials bearable. Marriage in our age, unfortunately, has become many times playing games with marriage, trying to make it more compatible with the self-centered age in which we live. We have come up with play marriage, living together. Trial marriage, if it doesn't work, forget it. Communal marriage, wife swapping. An open marriage, where mates pursue their own self-centered interests. The revolution against marriage is born of our modern Western craving for instant gratification. We want everything right away, from instant coffee to instant sex with no strings attached. Emotional strings, spiritual strings, intellectual strings. We want no strings of commitment, no strings of permanency, no strings of loyalty. There are Orthodox Christians, even, who are saying, what's wrong with it? What is wrong with it is very simple, that it mocks the sacrament of marriage. You've heard me say before, if you were to come into the Holy Temple and you were to see the server Jeremiah standing at the holy table wearing my vestments and holding a discourse of bread and a chalice of wine and invoking, this is my body, this is my blood, you would be horrified, because he would be mocking the sacrament of the Eucharist. When we live together, we mock the sacrament of matrimony. We act like we're married, maybe, but we're not. There's no permanency, there's no union with God. Above all, living together is wrong because God says so. We look at Mark's gospel, and the Lord says this in the 7th chapter: what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. You note that the Lord Jesus himself equates fornication with adultery. I told this to an Orthodox Christian who was living with someone and got a look of absolute astonishment. He hadn't even given it a thought. And I said to him, if you really love her, how can you be condemning her soul and yours to hell? And also, studies show for those who live together before marriage, the chances of divorce greatly increase. One of the big reasons is that living together, there's no commitment beyond the moment. If things don't look good, we take our stereo and our CDs and move on. Children are paying the price of these non-marriage marriages. The definition of confusion seems to have become Father's Day. Marriage is a mystery, a sacrament. It's not an estate instituted of man. It is an estate instituted of God. It is not regulated by man's laws, but by God's commandments. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Uganda and I was having breakfast with Archbishop Jonah, Metropolitan of all Uganda, and we were talking about this very thing, because they are facing some interferences by government, and there seems to be over taxes and so on. And I told him, I said, listen, Your Eminence, I don't need, nor do I want the government legitimizing the marriages that I celebrate. For years, I have been a proponent that we go back to what is used in many European countries. An Orthodox couple would go to the clerk of the court or the justice of the peace during the week, have this civil marriage, whatever they may call it, and on Sunday come here for the marriage, the true union of God and the couple, free from the interference of the government. Every time I sign those marriage licenses after a wedding, I really find it repulsive that somehow the government thinks they're putting their imprimatur on what the church has done. Now we have the same government of our country legalizing so-called same-sex marriage. That is an oxymoron. You cannot have same-sex and marriage. Unfortunately, many people are saying, well, maybe it's not that bad. Doesn't hurt me. A recent study, and you know that I'm very big on reading statistics, having taken that in college and been a sociology major back when it was a real major. And it has shown that even among people in 60s and above, a 21 or 22% increase in those who think it's all right. And dear God, I think there are Orthodox Christians who think it's all right. This is what Scripture says. This isn't Father Joseph inventing these things. This is Scripture. And let's look at it as Paul writes to the Corinthians. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor practitioners of homosexuality, or sodomites, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. What we ask of a homosexual, somebody who may feel they have homosexual attraction, is no different than we expect of a heterosexual who's not married. And that is chastity. The church does not reject the homosexual. We welcome all people with open arms. But we cannot say we favor these practices, or that we engage in these practices condemned by Scripture and the church and purport to be orthodox. A priest said to me not too long ago, he said he had a call from somebody, and this was his first mistake, who said, well, we're down here and our grandmother's here and we want to have the baby baptized. So he said he would do it on a Saturday. I said, that was your first mistake. Why would you baptize a child where you don't even know the parents? He got there and he met the parents, two women. And the one woman said, do you have a problem with this? And he said he didn't know what to do, and he baptized the child. I said, Father, you're not supposed to baptize a child unless you have a reasonable expectation that they will be raised as Orthodox Christians. And I ask you, Father, do you believe that the child's going to be raised as an Orthodox Christian? We're not punishing the child. Scripture says it better they not know the law than knowing the law being condemned by it. Should we be surprised by this happening? No, for it has been foretold by St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. Please listen to this. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, or even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. We're at that time where our country is on a slippery slope to becoming just like the Roman Empire, where every perversion and every diabolical practice will be thought of as good. And Scripture says what? Woe be unto him who speaks of evil as good. When this law was announced, I couldn't believe some of these things. It was an overturning, as you know, of the Defense of Marriage Act. And there was President Clinton applauding this wonderful decision that overthrew a law that he himself signed into law when he was president. And the president, our present president, President Obama, said, quote, "I will not force churches to perform gay marriages." The unsaid is that there is the power to force such. And there is. And I believe it will come. We will be faced with lawsuits when we refuse to perform these marriages. And the government will say, you have the right to worship as you see fit. But since your worship contradicts the laws of the United States, you will no longer be tax exempt. It will come to that. And my answer is, so be it. And if it takes all of this away from us, these buildings and these vestments and all of these fine things, and we're back to worshiping in each other's houses as they did at the apostolic time, it may be the best thing that ever happened to the church in a long time. Because then we will be truly practicing the faith of our fathers. At that time, we will be shown to be the true faith if we remain faithful to God and not to Caesar. Attacking Christians is in vogue. Former President Jimmy Carter this week equated the Catholic Church with Islam because the Catholic Church doesn't allow women priests. He equates them with a religion that forces women to wear burkas, they can't drive cars, they can't go to the university, and they can't go out of the house without a male relative accompanying them. You see, attacking Christians has become in vogue. But let us not fear it. Let us hold to the truth of the Gospels, hold true to the teachings of a church that has existed for 2,000 years since it was born on the first Pentecost, or rather Pentecost, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. There is no error. That's why we are called Orthodox, true believers. What we believe is the truth. Let us take great hope in that and not be afraid of anything. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.